Hello, this is Patricia Green, your U.S. correspondent for OneLink. Today we are speaking with Yvonne Lewis, and Yvonne is a nonprofit executive in Flint, Michigan. If you're not familiar with Flint, Flint is in a Midwestern portion of our country. It's about an hour from Detroit. You may be familiar with Detroit, home of the Motown sound. And like other U.S. cities whose economies were fueled by the auto industry, Flint has undergone hardships owed to closures. African Americans felt the pain more than others. Rises in home foreclosures, crime, health issues, food stores with non-nutritional products best described a community in crisis. Yet Yvonne had a bold plan, rooted in a different kind of research pertinent to building a new Flint, healthy and self-determined. The approach was community-based participatory research, and it's one where relationships are built on shared power. Community members, organizational representatives, and researchers all at the table as equal partners who are committed to improving the quality of life for the most vulnerable. So Yvonne, how does community-based participatory research differ from traditional research?
Well, good morning, Patricia. I think the name itself speaks to the difference. Community-based participatory research, bringing academic partners to work with communities, and that's the key word there, working with communities and community-based organizations to identify the problems or the condition, work together to develop solutions. And this is done with the community being at the core. So the community is involved at all levels of the decision-making process, including the development of the research design, implementation, and evaluation. So it really puts the community at the heart of the research process versus where traditional research is primarily academic-driven or driven by an organization that has funding to look at a particular issue without necessarily engaging community intricately for developing the solution. And then once that solution is gathered, many times the information never gets back to the community. It goes into a research journal or a professional journal or either used for continuing the research.
Well, that's an interesting concept. I remember my days as a community organization student, and one of the discipline tenets was to plan with people, not for people, because the professor said planning with people invited participation, that many campaigns failed because they failed to consider what the people who were best impacted by the problem were thinking and feeling.
Absolutely, absolutely. Actually, Patricia, I cut my teeth on this in the early 90s because I actually come from initially a business background. So I had the opportunity to work with the Kellogg-funded initiative here in Flint, Genesee County, that brought academic partners, health departments, and community organizations together, somewhat in a little triangle, to actually design a mechanism through which there would be better communication. And so I learned this through, an experiential process before going back to school and really learning more. Oh. So I think it's a very, very important process and concept.
So let me ask you, I know you said that all of these different stakeholder audiences came together, but were there any challenges in the early stages getting folks from different disciplines to work together and value differences?
Yes, absolutely. First of all, there's a lack of trust.
Okay.
Community members, after years and years and years, you understand we're here in the 1990s and we've had centuries or hundreds of years of people having research done on them. And so now you're asking them to come to the table. There's difference in language. There's difference in communication processes. So there were some significant challenges. So universities actually come to the table with an agenda already put together. Same with the health departments already having some guidelines and plans on how they would address issues. And then you bring a collection of community-based organizations who may never have worked together on a single issue, but yet supposed to be at the table with one voice. And so that was quite a challenge on how we would actually collectively understand from a community perspective how to be at this table, which you were never invited to be at in any significant nature before. So that was a challenge to really develop just the ability to be around the table, trust each other, develop a common language. So we even had to develop what we called a community-based organizations group that would come together and look at the conditions or the situations before going to the larger meeting. So we called it the meeting before the meeting. We knew those were happening in other settings. But as community, how often do we come together and think of, in a collective manner, what will be our potential solution that we would bring to the table to be considered along with our academic and health department partners? So that took a while to actually develop that trust in the relationship to even move forward with designing any type of research plan.
Thank you. Thank you for that insight. And community-based research or community-based participatory research, as you said earlier, is really a collaborative, and it's gaining a lot of credence among public health researchers and practitioners, something that, in my opinion, is long overdue. What do you think? I mean, you've touched on it, but why do you think there were so many opportunities, let's say, to do that kind of research, but traditional health researchers and practitioners were not undertaking it?
Well, Tricia, as I looked and became more involved in this, one of the things that I personally discovered is, you know, how many times in communities have we addressed these issues multiple times over decades? You know, issues like infant mortality and the disparity in infant mortality, disparity in cancer outcomes, you know, and the list goes on with what those things are in our community, you know, looking at adolescent health heart disease. And yet we weren't seeing any changes in that. So we really wanted to take a look at how we could be more effective in addressing those issues from the community perspective, because there's a difference in how the language is interpreted. You know, when you ask people in various communities what they think about a situation based upon their culture and the context within that community, their response could mean something very different than what a research scientist would interpret it at the end of those discussions. So I think it's very, very important to be sure that we're all, you know, on the same page as it relates to how these issues are going to be addressed.
I agree with you totally on that, because too often findings show community deficits as opposed to community strengths. And no doubt with the community-based participatory research process, those strengths would unfold.
Yeah, yes, I think you're right, and because it gives us an opportunity to really, you know, kind of push on some of those tough topics around those tables that may never be unearthed in the traditional research process.
You touched on African Americans with respect to the way questions are framed, data is interpreted, and the findings. So in so many instances, African Americans have been reluctant to have researchers come into their communities because of the fear that the data would not represent who they were and the problems that needed to be addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our experience here is, and I'll use the issue of infant mortality specifically, because I know this issue of infant mortality is a worldwide issue, Patricia. We have, you know, sometimes looked at the data here in Flint, Michigan, and compared it to what we consider a third world country, and we're in worse. Our statistics are worse, and so you wonder if we're supposed to be in a society, in a community that is cultured, and we have all access to all the best health services. Why is this condition what it is? Well, when you look more closely, and you see that we don't even speak the same language. For an example, we ask, you know, in the infant mortality project, we said, so what is infant mortality? How many people every day use the term infant mortality? So we did some discussion groups in community, and we asked her, what does it mean to you when a baby dies? And they talk about, they say, well, that's an angel gone to heaven. So how would a researcher interpret that? How would they make sense of that? And so when those those conversations happen around the table with community present, you can really help them determine how best to interpret that so that there is meaning when that information comes back to the community, and more importantly, when there's meaning in how additional evaluation is designed, how questions are asked in those surveys, or even in the discussion groups that we have with community. So it's very, very important to look at the fact that if you come from a different experience than I come from, if you come from an area where the setting, the context of the community is different, when you hear terms, you have a totally different definition of what that means. Therefore, the outcomes are going to be very different.
Absolutely. So tell me a bit about your process, the problem or issue you are addressing, who's involved in the research, your methodology, and your early findings.
Well, one of the things that, you know, I've done over the years, that we've kind of adapted, you know, I really appreciate the experience that I've had over the last 10, 15 years working with the academic partners, because in listening to them and trying to understand their perspective, it also helped me get a better perspective of our community and how to effectively engage our community. So one of the things that's real critical early on is what I call community dialogue or discussion sessions, where, you know, the traditional research uses focus groups, and I often say, well, when you use a focus group, you already have in mind what you want the answer to be, versus an adaptation of community dialogue where we go in and there is no designed end. But what we do is say to the community, here's the problem. How would you describe it? And then we further engage them in a conversation that says, so once you describe this, what do you consider possible solutions? How would we deal with this? And then there's a process of narrowing that into best possible solution, and then engaging the community to say, okay, here's what I'll do to help remedy that. Here's how I will actually be engaged. And so when you have everybody, you know, actually engaged in the process. So community-based participatory research in its purest form, from my perspective, is when you have community-based representatives at every level of the decision-making process.
Empowerment.
Yes. Yes, because in that, you're doing some education at the same time. Again, if we don't go to if we're not involved in the academic process, then you don't know the academic terms. Mm-hmm. However, as we're engaging in this process, using the example again of infant mortality, once we say, you know, how do you see how do you explain when a baby dies, then we can say, but the term that's used in the research language or in academia is infant mortality. So now what do you have? You have community members now who know the same language as they sit across the table from an academician or a health department or a public health professional. And so that enriches the conversation, expands our knowledge base, and then lifts up the confidence of community.
This is great information and great food for thought. And I'm hopeful that what you've said, I'm sure what you've said, will bear on how some of our friends across the pond might consider integrating this into their work. And with that in mind, how can they reach you for additional information?
Well, Patricia, I'm working now at the Universal Kidney Foundation, and that's located in Burton, Michigan. And I can be reached by email at ylewis@universalkidneyfoundation.org, ylewis@universalkidneyfoundation.org, or I can be reached by phone at 810-282-2605. 810-282-2605.
Thank you so much. This was just a great discussion, and so much was given to us that I'm sure we could apply, as I've mentioned earlier, to our own work, and so much was given to us that can begin to transform communities. Like you said, this is not just a national or a U.S. issue. This is a global issue with respect to how research is conducted on people of color. It is a collaborative process if you want the best result. It is a process, as I mentioned earlier, planning with people, not for people. So I thank you. I thank you so much, Yvonne, for this insight. And as I've mentioned before, if you want to know more about this, please be in touch with Yvonne. So This is OneLink, your source for global knowledge sharing and understanding, and we'll see you next time.